Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Bill, and this is my great friend, the true giant among us, a brilliant genius, one who's able to create beauty, beauty out of darkness. And your name?
Jose Altuve.
Mully and Hall, we have Tom Thayer in studio. What a delight. We want to thank everyone for texting and emailing and getting a hold of us on the phone and all the wonderful, wonderful ways that people do that. And
Tom Thayer, you're a legend. Mike Mulligan, you're God.
Oh, boy. Now, that's wrong. But want to thank you, Tom, and thank you for listening. God, it means a lot to us to listen.
Yeah,
Tom,
does.
You certainly gave them a reason to, so that's fantastic.
Listen every morning when I'm not here.
God bless you. Look at that. The man read it just as I wrote it. And our thanks to Dustin.
You know, Dustin, I got to give a shout-out to Dustin. Touch him off for earlier. He was tremendous.
He is tremendously tremendous. And, of course, Kevbo.
Kevin, you can do this.
I didn't thank him, notice. I just acknowledged him. That's just the way I roll. And Ray, I thank Ray from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Ray.
He's a good teammate.
He's a good teammate.
He's one of the most misunderstood people.
Don't even start. And now we welcome in our friends, Connor McKnight and, of course, Mark Crotty, the man with the shoulder/hip injury in the future. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Did you just predict an injury for Mark Crotty?
Well, if he keeps carrying the backpack the way he does during Bears games, just hanging off of one shoulder, it's just going to it's going to give him that spine or that hip injury.
See?
It's real Cavaliers. Still, though, so many people, I mean, you hear, you know, you go to the Reddit message boards where it's Radio Sideline Reporter, you know, that message board. Grody routinely polls as one of the coolest looking dudes on the sideline because of the way he slings the backpack around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but here's the thing is, for people who don't know what we're talking about, I make Tom Thayer uncomfortable when I have the backpack. A, that the backpack is on the whole time while I'm on the sidelines, and then B, that it is hanging on one shoulder. So I did a trial run in the second preseason game. I parted with the bag for the most part. I felt a little bit uncomfortable, but I left it by the sidewall, and I was fine. The problem is, Tom, the reason that I do it that way is I have a strong tendency to lose just about everything in my life that's not attached to me.
Yeah.
So I have fear of leaving backpack with equipment.
During the broadcast and the two-minute warning, I will give you a sideline reminder about making sure you have everything before you go into the locker room.
Seriously, if we could do it like that, I'm down.
What if we got him? You know, the kids are back into fanny packs. Everything old is new again. You know,
right.
So my mother, when we would go to like Great America or something in the 90s, always had a fanny pack. Well, that's back now, apparently. Can we get Mark Grody like a BBM fanny pack to walk around on the sidelines with?
I'd wear it.
I feel like that's the way out here.
Can I just,
you know, it's no stress on the back. He looks cool, according to the kids.
Can I just point out how much Tom Thayer cares and how much study he does that he has noticed the potential injury for a crucial member of the crew? Mark, you can't buy that kind of advice.
Well, I'm a backpack wearer, but I always have to have it on equal, and I got to have the straps equal. And then in the first preseason game, when I was watching Mark run up and down the sidelines and just having hanging off of one shoulder, it made me super uncomfortable as far as away from him as I was.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were very serious about that. You're Mark, I need to talk to you. You know, you're the backpack the whole time, and on one side of the shoulder has got to change.
You know, Mully, you're right. That is the kind of veteran leadership that the Score and the BBM broadcast team needs around here. Just Thayer looking out for things. It reminds me a little bit. I heard you guys talking with Alex Cohen on the way in to the Bryn Mawr Country Club, where we're broadcasting from Joe Madden's charity golf tournament all morning long. I heard you asking about the kind of leadership that Ben Zobrist will offer each and every minor league clubhouse on alternating weekends whenever he is there. It makes sense. It feels like there's value there added.
Yeah, I still don't get that one. And I know that it doesn't matter until he comes to the big league club, and that's inevitable when they expand the rosters, he's coming. Does that mean he's going to come for the weekends, or is he coming for the entirety of the season? Is there a point where he actually comes back?
I suppose there has to be a point where he actually comes back. Still, the only because I don't know that there's another way to do it for a Major League Baseball team, unless you're Roger Clemens. That's the only guy I can think of in the last 30 while I've been watching baseball that had other rules as to when he could attend or not. I guess Deion Sanders, right, when he was, and Bo Jackson, like those are the two guys that had exceptions made for them during the regular season. That's it, and they were playing other pro sports.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, but you know what's weird is they're not using him. It's not like he's coming there and like working every, you know, one day he's a pinch hitter, one day he's a DH. It's not like they're really kind of overly concerned with what he does. And I understand that he's Ben Zobris, but he's also 38. Don't you got to get the body moving at that age?
I would imagine you do. I mean, what happens, you know, let's play this out a little bit, I suppose. They'll do the best they can with a strange situation, right? I mean, I think that much is clear. This is a weird scenario, and they're just going to do what they can with it. But what if the answer at the end of August is Ben Zobrist saying, I don't have it? You know, like it's not there for me, whether it's the swing or desire or ability or health or what have you. Where do you go from there?
He should know that
now. What this organization did.
Connor, he should know that now. I don't think it's going to take another month's time or another 3 weeks' time to convince himself he either does or doesn't have it. It's something that he's got the experience, he's got the life lessons that he should know that if he has the dedication now to succeed.
Well, here's the good news about all that. The day that Ben Zobrist left the organization, went on the restricted list, and was dealing with his personal issues, I think that the Cubs, just judging from what Theo Epstein and or Jed Hoyer was saying about the situation, they went on as if they were never going to have Ben Zobrist back. You know, they were able to pay Craig Kimbrell and, yes, sign him based on the fact that he was gone, and they thought maybe he would be gone for. So, in other words, it's just a bonus if he's to actually come back and provide anything for your team this year, sort of like the same scenario that's playing out, or not playing out as the case may be, with Brandon Morrow, that it's just going to be assumed that you're going to go on without both of those guys. If they come back, great, it's a bonus.
I think they're going to get Morrow back like they get everyone back.
What's that mean?
It just means that they're going to get him back.
Just like in small pieces on alternate weekends?
I'm saying they've gotten guys back and it hasn't been exactly wonderful.
You know, speaking of the idea of getting guys back, one thing that a lot of people have been saying recently about the Cubs is, well, They're playing with a thin roster because of all the various injuries, like Wilson Contreras and Steve Cishek was down for a while. Pedro Strop was down for a while. Craig Kimbrell was
Wilson
down for a while.
Wilson Contreras
is down right
now.
Yeah,
it's exactly how you pronounce it. That the idea that when they all come back, the Cubs are going to be fine. The Cubs were not fine even when they had all those guys at full strength. They were middling and volatile even when those guys were in. So the idea that once the Cubs are full strength, they're going to be fine, they're going to run away with the division, I don't think that is the case. But Wilson Contreras, that is the proper way to pronounce it, yeah. And he is officially Contreras.
Did you watch any of the Sox broadcasts over the weekend?
The Bill Walton broadcast?
Well,
yeah,
that,
I did.
Well, that wasn't the only one. There was
no, it wasn't.
Michael Schur and Michael Bryan. Just curious.
I caught snippets of the Schur and O'Brien. The Walton one was the one I really sat down. I took in the Aaron Water show for the first time as a Chicago resident.
Oh, nice.
I had worked. I'd either been working for this station or another one on each and every Aaron Water show or out of town for last year's, and this is the first
Christmas
time I really got to watch it.
I hope you're happy about that.
No, I mean, I get it. That's what this business does to you. You know, the holidays are when you have to go and check the clock.
What did you think of Mike O'Brien? I did catch about five innings of Mike O'Brien. He seems like a pretty knowledgeable guy, pretty dry.
He seemed like a Sox fan. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, totally.
What was the only thing that disappointed you?
Just he was like a super fan. No, the only thing that disappointed me was that when they had him do the reads,
yes.
like they weren't that good, and I thought, this is an improv guy, like a guy who should be able to sight read things, like rough drafts, and it was just a little, I was a little disappointed with his reading.
I liked him because he was a Sox fan, and he talked about the past, and he talked about different players, and he kind of had, I thought Michael Schur was really good. I thought that was an interesting broadcast, because he said some things which I thought, you know, he's a good baseball guy. The other thing is, I'm a huge fan of The Office. I love The Office, sure. And he was Moe's in The Office, and that was hysterical. And he talked about that.
I think it's always fun to hear, especially people like people who are big baseball fans but work these other demanding careers where you really have to, like, sure, where you have to invest so much time into one particular thing that you really don't get to check in on the outside world all that often, to hear their perspective on baseball, something that we're so plugged into, and just kind of realize that I kind of miss the forest for the trees every once in a while. That, you know, sure has a different vision or view of baseball than I do because he's so removed from it, but that doesn't mean his is any less valuable than mine, because it's like this, it's this different perspective that you just don't get a chance to listen to.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you, I loved the Bill Walton, the first part of it, and then through about three innings, and I unfortunately tend to get overtired on Fridays. It's hard for me on Fridays. I usually crash fairly early, and I was like kind of falling asleep as I was watching it after the third inning, and he was annoying me. It went from fun to like, oh God, Bill, you know, stop it.
Over exaggeration.
Yeah, it's just too much. What do you got, guys? What are you going to be doing?
Oh, we got a lot to do out here at Joe Madden's Charity Golf Tournament. A pleasure to be broadcasting here from the second straight year. 9:40, though, we're going to check in with our second Ken Mastroli Award winner. Linebacker James Waters is going to hang out with us. Mark Grody has made friends with James. He's won an award, a very prestigious award, so we'll talk to him at 10:40. Rich Campbell resumes his Bears hits with us this week. He's back from paternity leave, and congratulations to him and the family, so we'll talk to Rich. Remember, Rich was the guy that for four straight weeks gave you Kari Vedvik as the man who was going to make the first field goal in the regular season for the Chicago Bears, and there but for a fifth-round pick went he. That damn near happened, and Rich had it for us pretty much all summer long.
All right, we'll be listening.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.